In March 1996, Outside Magazine sent me to Nepal to participate in and write about a guided ascent of Mount Everest. I went as one of 8 clients on an expedition led by a well-known guide from New Zealand named Rob Hall. On May 10th, I arrived on top of the mountain, but the summit came at a terrible cost. Among my 5 teammates who reached the top, 4, including Hall, perished in a rogue storm that blew in without warning while we were still high on the peak. By the time I descended to base camp, 9 climbers from 4 expeditions were dead, and 3 more lives would be lost before the month was out. The expedition left me badly shaken, and the article was difficult to write. Nevertheless, 5 weeks after I returned from Nepal, I delivered a manuscript to Outside, and it was published in the September issue of the magazine. Upon its completion, I attempted to put Everest out of my mind and get on with my life, but that turned out to be impossible. Through a fog of messy emotions, I continued trying to make sense of what had happened up there, and obsessively mulled the circumstances of my companions' deaths. The Outside piece was as accurate as I could make it under the circumstances, but my deadline had been unforgiving, the sequence of events had been frustratingly complex, and the memories of the survivors had been badly distorted by exhaustion, oxygen depletion, and shock. At one point during my research, I asked 3 other people to recount an incident all 4 of us had witnessed high on the mountain, and none of us could agree on such crucial facts as the time, what had been said, or even who had been present. Within days after the Outside article went to press, I discovered that a few of the details I'd reported were in error. Most were minor inaccuracies of the sort that inevitably creep into works of deadline journalism. But one of my blunders was in no sense minor and had a devastating impact on the friends and family of one of the victims. Only slightly less disconcerting than the article's factual errors was the material that necessarily had to be omitted for lack of space. Mark Bryant, the editor of Outside, and Larry Burke, the publisher, had given me an extraordinary amount of room to tell the story. They ran the piece at 17,000 words, 4 or 5 times as long as a typical magazine feature. Even so, I felt that it was much too abbreviated to do justice to the tragedy. The Everest climb had rocked my life to its core, and it became desperately important for me to record the events in complete detail, unconstrained by a limited number of column inches. This book is the fruit of that compulsion.